for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, listen, we are on the verge of Thanksgiving here and excited about being with family, and I'm sure that you are, and very excited about that for you. Hey, a couple of things I want to tell you about before we jump into this little mini-series. And what it is my book, Aftershocks, here. I know many of you guys have already bought this book, and because it became number one in prophecy as soon as it came out, so I know you guys went out there and bought it. But I want to encourage you to buy a copy of this for a friend. Now, as you guys talk to me, I know lots of people that you know are dipping their toe in prophecy, or maybe your pastor. This would be a great gift for your pastor to help him even discern the times and what's going on. And I want to get a copy of this book to you. And but here's what I want to do. If you order a copy of this book, while I have supplies, I want to give you something for free. In fact, I want to give you two things for free. Number one is a hard copy of my book, Uncovering the Mysteries of God. Okay. And this book I wrote several years ago. And the reason I wrote this book was really to help a lot of skeptics. I was pastoring a church at that time that was mainly just, you know, Gen Xers and Gen Zs who were just kind of like coming out of the world. And they had a lot of questions about God. And so some of the questions that they asked me, I turned into this book. And, you know, among them are, how can Jesus be God and be man? I have a chapter called Of Devils and Darkness, the mystery of God and suffering. How can God be good and loving and yet allow evil? I've got a chapter on predestination, a chapter that a lot of people are curious about, a lot of people are curious about. Excuse me. I have a chapter on the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom now? Is it later? The mystery of prayer, the mystery of the faith. What does it mean to have faith? What is the Christian faith? The mystery of the Bible. I've got a whole chapter in there on the rapture. I've got a chapter on the end times, a chapter on Israel, and then a whole chapter on mysteries that we may never solve. But this book is really a great handy tool. In fact, my wife says it's one of the best books I've ever written. And I want to give you a copy of that book for free if you order my book, Aftershocks. Now, I'm going to go a step further in this thing, okay? I'm not just going to give you a copy of the book, Mysteries. I'm going to give you this brand new professionally recorded MP3 version of the book as well. In other words, it's the audio book of the Mysteries book. And so you can have it on on audio, or you can have it a hard copy. But I'm going to give both of them to you for just ordering the book Aftershocks. Here's how you do that. You go to jeffkinley.com and you click on that donate tab. You make a donation of $25 and make sure that this is a little bit complicated, okay, because I haven't been able to set up like I used to have on my old website, but you'll need to send me a note with your name and your address. And if you'd like me to sign these books to anyone in particular, just send me a note in the contact tab that just says, "Hey, Jeff, this is John. Here's my address. I just ordered Aftershocks." Okay. I know that's a little bit extra for you to do, but you're going to get three books in essence for the price of about one. So anyway, that's a great deal. I hope you take advantage of it. And I look forward to sending these things out to you. And I'm going to just keep sending them out for as long as they last. Okay. Excuse me. All right. Second thing is, real quickly, don't forget about the Prophecy Pros Conference in Orlando, Florida. If you haven't signed up or you haven't even checked it out, go to theprophecyprosconference.net. I'm so horrible with websites. theprophecyprosconference.net. And just watch the video, check it out. Going to be some great speakers there. Myself, Ed Heinsohn, Todd Hampson, Tom Hughes, and Don Perkins. My friends, it's going to be a glorious gathering of the remnant bride. And you're not going to want to miss this. You're going to get to fellowship on levels and in ways with people that you haven't been able to do for a very long time. I guarantee it. So check it out. Okay. Here's what we want to do. Today, I'm going to start this little series of just about our spiritual motivation. Okay. And I know at this time of year, a lot of times people, you know, it's dark outside, it gets dark early. People are just low motivated in life in general. And we have to ask ourselves, how do we keep motivated in our lives? I heard the story of a hunter that was out hunting deer one day. He's relating this story to his friend. He says, I was walking along in the woods and I heard a noise behind me. And I looked and there was a bear charging from about 50 yards out. And I knew it was just only a matter of a few seconds where this bear was going to be right on me. He was going to eat me, okay? So he said, I just took off running as fast as I could. I dropped my gun. I just took off running as fast as I possibly could, my feet could go. And he said, I didn't know what I was going to do because there was absolutely no way for me to outrun this bear, and I knew it. But I looked up and there was a branch hanging across the path of this in the woods there. And he said, but it was about 14 feet high. And of course, I can't, you know, jump that high and stuff. And so he says, I took off and with everything that I could, and I just leapt up into the air. And the friend said, well, were you able to jump up to the branch? And the guy said, no, but I caught it on the way down. You see, he was so motivated that he jumped even higher than he needed to jump, okay? It's all about your motivation. You know, what drives you? What motivates you? What propels you to move forward in life? What propels you to, what keeps you not giving up? What prevents you from throwing in the towel? Why are you still here? Why are you still pursuing? Why are you still pushing forward? What lights your fire? What keeps you going? And of course, I'm talking about your Christian faith and your relationship with Christ. You know, sometimes we talk about our spiritual lives. You know, we think that that's just sort of a something we take care of if we have time to do it. And so our motivation, we really don't see any real motivation. I mean, some people are not motivated, which is, you know, demonstrated by the fact that you have so many lethargic, apathetic, mediocre, non-impacting Christians, or at least professing Christians on the planet. The real question is, what do you need to motivate you? And I want to talk about four motivations in this little mini-series here that I believe are are legitimate motivations to help you in your Christian life. And I experience all these in my life. This is kind of coming out of my life, but it's also coming out of the scripture here. So I want to talk about these four, maybe two this time and two next time. So make sure you don't miss the next podcast. So let me ask you this. What about fear? Is fear ever a good motivation? Now, we all know that fear can be a horrible motivation and that there's a bad kind of fear, right? But what does the Bible say about fear being a motivation? Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures together, okay? We're going to look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul is expressing a fear that he has, right? And he's saying in verse 24 of chapter 9, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. So Paul is saying that if you're going to be in the race, and the race here is the Christian life, he's just using this metaphor as a race. And the reason he was doing that was because the Corinthians were very, very familiar with the precursors to the Olympic Games, or the Olympic Games themselves. Actually, these games they had were called the Isthmian Games, which were held along the Isthmian Strait there near Corinth. And he says, these guys who run in races, they run to win. So, question, why would you want to enter a race that you did not either want to win or intend to win? Paul says, that's dumb. Run to win. If you're going to run the race, be a winner in the race. If you're going to be a Christian, strive to be a great Christian. Go way above mediocrity. You know, nobody in the Olympic Games, when the gun sounds, you've never seen a runner just go, oh yeah, you know, just start looking up at the stands like, oh hey, how's it going? Good to see you. No, they've got their eyes focused on something, right? Well, he says here that in verse 25, Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now, in the games, he says, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. It was a woven olive branch they placed on top of their head, an olive wreath. You've seen this. But he says, we have an imperishable wreath. Our reward is something that will last forever. He says, therefore, because of that imperishable wreath, I run in such a way as not without aim. See, part of motivation is to make sure that we have a focused objective on the other end. For the guy who runs in the race, it's called the finish line, right? And in a similar way, metaphorically speaking, it's the finish line for you and me too. And Paul says, I box in such a way as not beating the air. In other words, he says, I land my punches. I don't just swing it, and I don't close my eyes and just swing wildly out there. He says, no, I want to land my punches here, right? Then he says this, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, the translation that I'm using, New American Standard, translates this buffet, means to beat your body. He says, and make it my slave. I mean, he's talking about controlling ourselves, which is really the most difficult thing to do. He's talking about his body here. And he said, and he's implying that our bodies can lose focus because, all right, think about this. Our bodies are controlled by our spirit, you know, through our minds. If we just let our bodies do whatever our bodies want, then whatever urges the body has at any time then becomes the guiding force and the motivation for living. The same is true for our thoughts, by the way. Any thought that just happens to pop into our minds that is not put in subjection to Christ, then that becomes what motivates us. That becomes our driving force in our lives. And Paul says, that's not a way to live. No, you control your body. No. We all have things that our bodies want. Sometimes our bodies want more food, and we should not eat more food. Sometimes our bodies want to be sexually pleased, and we shouldn't be sexually pleased in those ways, in illegitimate ways. We all experience those things, right? But watch this. He says, that's why you have to take control of your body. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do that. And he says he does that. He says, lest after I have preached to others, I myself would be disqualified. So there is a fear that Paul has, a healthy fear, a godly fear, of being disqualified. Put it again in the runner's world. Why do you not take steroids? Why do you not go off and take some substance that will enhance your performance? Because you fear being disqualified. You fear having something in your body that they're going to test you and find out it's in your body. And guess what? You don't get to run the race. Or if you do win, like what happened back in the early 80s with Ben Johnson from Canada, he was all jacked up on steroids and beat the fastest man in the world, won the gold medal in the 100 meters. But then he was tested positive for steroids. They took it away from him. That's the whole idea that Paul's talking about here. He's saying, I don't want to fail the test. And that part of not wanting to fail the test is part of what motivates me. It's a healthy fear. Let me give you another passage. Go back over, flip a few pages back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here he's talking about the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. And again, here it's the same motif. It's the idea of a runner running in the Olympics. At the end of the race, all the runners would stand before this big giant seat upon which sat the judge of the Olympic Games. The judge would then determine, based upon the end of the race and how the race was run, who wins the gold, or who wins the prize there for them. He says here in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. He's talking about his ministry in their lives. But each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work will become evident. Now, he's saying that however you build your life and pursue Christ, one day that's going to be revealed. All right? Now, the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with heaven or hell, has nothing to do with forgiveness of sin or being righteous before God or being condemned for God. That issue was settled the moment you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's a done deal, right? This is talking only about at the end of the race, whether or not you're going to get something, all right? You're going to get some kind of reward. And he says, each man's work will be evident for the day. What day? The day of Christ, the day of judgment for Christians. We'll show it because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. The quality. Not how much he did, not how much she did. Very important point. The quality. With God, it is quality over quantity. Okay? That's a super important point to understand. That God wants you to do it right with the right motives. And when that happens, you get rewarded for it. You can do a million things with the wrong motive or a skewed motive, then nothing. You get nothing for your labor. I mean, working really, really hard, really, really, really hard in your job, but you're not accomplishing anything. Your work is crap. God says, no, I want your work for me to be excellent. So whatever you do for God, I don't care if it's sweeping the church parking lot or if it's teaching a Bible study, or if it's like me, writing a book or standing in front of a large group of people and teaching the Word of God, no matter what you do it with quality. And I'll tell you this, for me personally, and I've told you this before, that I have cataloged in my ministry career about 10,000 different messages. And most all of them are on different things, okay? So just every kind of topic and nuance on the topic and teaching through most of the Bible throughout my ministry career. But do you know that, and I have files on most of those, but guess what? Like next weekend, I'm going to speak out in California. I'm going to actually preach a message that I haven't preached in a very, very long time. You know what I don't do? I do not go to the file where I preached it before and take it out of that file and then just put it in my notebook and go and preach that message again. Literally never do that. Every single time I preach a message, I don't care how many times I preached on that topic or even that specific message, I'm going to print out the notes all over again, and I'm going to go through the whole thing all over again to make sure that maybe I'm going to make something better or add some scripture or maybe take some points away, put some points in, add some new illustrations, bring some updated news that relates to it, whatever. I don't care. You know why? Because God has motivated me in my life to do it with quality. Now, God can be, or is the judge rather, of whether or not that is quality. But from my end, I'm doing my best to make sure it's not just the number of times I speak. It's every time I speak has to be great. It has to be good. So that's the point. That's what God wants for all our lives. He wants us to do these things with quality. And he says in verse 14, if any man's work, which he has built upon, remains, he's going to receive a reward. So if the quality of your work is there, then guess what? You're going to get a great reward. But watch this. Hang on, I'm looking at my time here, okay? All right. He says, but if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. So what he's saying there is that you're not going to lose your salvation if your works aren't any good, or if they don't meet God's standards, or if they're not quality. You're going to be saved because your faith in Christ and because of what Christ did for you. But watch this. You're not going to receive reward. You're going to have a loss of reward. Well, my friend, that ought to spark something in you and me that, yes, we fear, not fear like a phobia fear, not like trembling fear kind of thing all the time, but it's like we fear not receiving reward from God. And that fear is a... negatively speaking, is a healthy motivation. It's a healthy motivation. And again, we don't have time to go there, but over in 2 Corinthians 5, he talks about, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. I mean, part of ministry in other people's lives is persuading them of the truth of the gospel. So one motivation that you might think in your mind today is to think about, when I get to my end of my life, I want to make sure that I've done what I need to do. And the fear of not doing that, the fear of not measuring up that way, the fear of not having anything to present to Christ, the fear of not having rewards will positively motivate me in the right direction. All right, I've got another motivation for you that's similar to this. We'll talk about it next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.